So, as we all know, it's 4th of July, and for me as a Christian and as a Marine, it really has significance for me. I really do appreciate America. It's the greatest country on the planet. There's no doubt about it. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing even close to second. There's no second place, America, and then kind of lump all the rest of them in it. When I was only 19, I signed up to go in the Marine Corps, and I was willing to lay down my life for this country and all that it stands for. And now, in the times past, in between that and here, something amazing happened. And that was I met Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And so now, my whole identity used to be wrapped up as a Marine. Now my identity is wrapped up as being a born-again Christian. A Marine, as I said, America's the best country, and there's really not a second place. For me, I'm a Christian, and there's really nothing else second place. There's some things I really like and value, but Jesus is my one and only. Amen? So on the 4th of July weekend, I mean, sometimes I've gone through the history of American independence and kind of the time frame and some of that stuff. But today I just want to really focus on the freedom we have in Christ. Because it's like, you guys are just like me. Some of you probably watch a lot more news than me. I watch a little bit of news. My capacity for the news is pretty low. And so I just try to stay informed enough so that I have half a clue of what's going on. But what I've seen in the last 10 or 15 years is it seems like our Constitution that stayed almost unchanged for about 200 years, now we have various politicians that want to adjust it and change it and interpret it to fit their agendas. And so our freedoms go up and down depending on who's in what office and who has what majority. That's kind of crazy, don't you think? The great thing with being a Christian is my freedom in Christ never changes. That's permanent. That's eternal. And it was paid for by Jesus Christ. I don't have to wonder about how's this judge going to interpret it or how's this committee going to interpret it or what does this president think about my freedom in Christ. It's absolute. I don't have to worry about who's going to be the next president or the president after that. I have absolute freedom in Christ. So have you turned to Luke chapter 4? We'll start at verse 18. This passage is the first recorded passage that Jesus ever said when he started preaching in the synagogues. This is right after he gets water baptized, the Holy Ghost comes down, fills him. Then he gets led by the Holy Spirit out into a time of testing out in the desert. Then it says he comes back in the power of the Holy Ghost. He goes into church. I don't know if this is the first time he went to synagogue, but this is the first recorded passage we have of Jesus standing up in synagogue, in the faith community, full of the Holy Ghost, stands up and says this. This is amazing. It's like his job description to those people, but also it's his job description to all of us, to all believers throughout eternity. Luke 4, verse 18. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Man, you talk about a blank check. No matter what you've gone through in your life or what you're going through right now, Jesus' ministry as described by him right there for us covers it. Amen? Oh, okay, am I talking too fast? No, okay, good. Yeah, amen, come on. So there's three things I really want to kind of highlight out of that passage today. Number one, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And if you're a born-again Christian, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because the Lord has anointed you. Isn't that amazing? Yes. If we let just our human thinking have at it, and even some of other people's understanding shape how we think, we'll miss a lot of what Jesus just said about that. Because, you know, when you get born again, the supernatural, amazing thing happens. I can still remember when I got saved. It was a Tuesday way back in 91. It was actually July 18th, 1991. It was a Tuesday. It was about 6:30. That's how dramatic it was for me. I went to the stupid church thing with my wife. I had manipulated for her to go on a booze cruise with me down to Cedar Point, and then I go to the stupid church thing. Well, the only problem with my whole little scheme was I went to the church thing first. Hey, guess what? God's real. I was an alcoholic atheist. I was sure he wasn't real. So I went to this thing to manipulate my wife, and boom, God shows up, reveals to me that he really, really is real, that he really loves me, and if I would just give him my heart, if I'd repent of my sins, that I could receive his forgiveness, be forgiven of everything I'd done, whoa, that's where we all go, amen. Because I don't know how bad you guys were, but you guys know how bad you were, right? You don't know how bad, well, some of you know kind of how bad I was. My sister and my wife, my kids are here. But I really know how bad I was. And for me, you know, part of how an atheist thinks, at least for me, there can't be a God. Because if there really was a God, there's no way he'd be able to forgive me for all the stuff I did. I'm just too horrible. So to be rejected by a God, I just don't believe in him. I'm just going to shut that door. Well, God showed up. He is real. He really revealed his love to me in a supernatural, spiritual way that, I mean, all I can say was wow. It was just wow. And so the guy had an altar call. He gave an altar call. And that man, I was like, yeah, I'm up. I'm doing this thing. Changed my everything all those years ago. So when we get born again, the Holy Spirit comes into us and gives us understanding of godly stuff. I understood God's goodness. I understood God's grace. I understood God's love for me. I understood his forgiveness that would give me this whole new chance. I understood all that before I was saved. What? Yeah, the Holy Spirit in power and glory comes into the worst of sinners, like me, and gives us enough understanding, enough taste of God's goodness so that we'll give our lives to him. Come on. That's the greatest story on earth. It really is. It's the greatest story on earth. So when we get born again, the Holy Spirit starts working in us, gives us enough spiritual fuel, so to speak, to be able to make that little journey to the altar to give our lives to God. We give our lives to God, and we get born from above. That's what the Bible says. We get born anew. We get born again. It's a brand new life. It's not duct tape. It's not super glue. It's not a hammer beating some things back into shape. That's how people fix stuff. God gives us a brand new spirit. The Bible says he gives us a brand new mind to think with, a brand new heart to feel things with, and then this brand new life, a born from above brand new life, by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit to go share the good news that just happened to us. Wow. So when Jesus says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news, do you know in the original language what that literally says is God has confirmed my call to him by anointing me with the Holy Spirit so that I can proclaim the good news of Jesus. This says preach, and I know sometimes we're afraid, oh, don't preach at me. Oh, they don't want to get preached at. That's probably true. But I've never, ever seen anybody get aggravated when I tell them, I just got to tell you how good God's been to me. I used to be this drunk fool. And God came to me when I was still horrible. I wasn't close to him. I wasn't looking for him. I didn't want him. And God shocked me with his goodness. He showed me himself. He showed me his love and forgave me. Kaboom! Born again. Everything new. It was amazing. So that's us. We're born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're anointed with the Holy Spirit so that we can go and continue telling people about this good story that God has shared with us, our brand new story. So if you look, if you can keep your thumb there, if you got electronic stuff, just hop over to Isaiah 61. Because when Jesus got up and he opened the scroll and what some people might have thought he was randomly reading some verses or he just jumped up and read these things, just happened to be that way. I just want to tell you that the God of eternity had Jesus read these verses. We're reading them out of Luke, but Jesus didn't read them out of Luke, right? The New Testament wasn't there when Jesus read these verses. Jesus read this out of Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. So long before Jesus read Isaiah, Isaiah read Isaiah or proclaimed Isaiah. Isaiah was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. Every Jew that Jesus listened to preach would have been very familiar with Isaiah. So when Jesus read these passages, all of them would have been, click, I know this. I grew up hearing these passages about Isaiah. It would have been part of their life. A normal Jewish person would have thought, if you're going to do great things for God, when God moves in your life, when God's moving through you, he anoints you with his Holy Spirit to do all of these things. Because that's what Isaiah did, and that's what Isaiah said was going on. So when Jesus got up and said the exact same thing, for them it's like, well, this is that. I totally get it. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us. This is that is us today. If you're born again Christian, if you've been forgiven all of your sins and you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you've asked Father God to forgive you of all your sins because of what Jesus did, then you are anointed with the Holy Spirit to preach good news or to declare your story or to share the wonderful things about Jesus. You pick the words you like. You pick them, whatever you're most comfortable with. It's so amazing that Jesus stands up and he quotes Isaiah with that. You know, the second thing after we realize that we're anointed to preach good news, we're anointed to share this good news, the anointing is a confirmation that God called us. Sometimes the devil will lie to us, and he'll tell us things like, well, at best, you're an average Christian. At best. Most days, you're not even average. You're not like some super Christian, some missionary over in Afghanistan. You're not like some super Christian that teaches at a Christian college. You're not even a pastor. You're just at best, an average Christian. So you just hang on. You sit in that pew. You just kind of wait for Jesus to come back, and then hopefully things will work out. That is the theological term for that. That's garbage. You guys are called by God. You've been anointed to share the good news about Jesus Christ. Amen? This is a big deal. We're anointed. It actually literally says in the original languages when he was talking, when Jesus said, I'm anointed by God with the Holy Spirit. He was saying, God has confirmed my call by giving me the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to make sure what crowd I'm talking to. Raise your hand if you're born again. Let me see how many people of us are born again. Man, I think we're all born again. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you got born again because the Holy Spirit came, explained God's goodness to you. You gave your all to God so he'd give you all his. Right? I mean, that's a nutshell of the goodness of the gospel. That Holy Spirit is your anointing to go out, tell other people about God's good news in your life. You have been authorized. God wants everybody to know. No, I picked Jeanette to tell people about me. And I gave her the Holy Spirit to help her do this. I'm going to supersize her. I'm going to energize her. So when she talks about just the good things that happened to her in her life, it's going to be super energized. Just like when I went to listen to that one church guy all the way back in 91. I wasn't even looking for nothing. But when he started talking about God and stuff, the Holy Ghost went, wham. Oh my gosh, God's real. And he's a good God. And he loves me, and he's willing to forgive me. What? That's what can happen for all of us at work, at college, at school, at the park. Maybe you're just out fishing. Some guys come up, and they're standing next to you fishing. Man, how long you been here? Da-da-da. How often you come here? Oh, yeah, well, I come here with friends, too. So what church do you go to? Oh, you don't go to church? Wow, let me invite you to church. Just ask a question. Oh, do you live around here? Oh, do you go to school around here? Oh, what brings you out here? Why don't you go fishing somewhere else? Just kind of, man, sounds like children's church is fun, huh? Just ask a question so that you can somehow start telling them about the great things God's done in your life. Start from the biggest, go down the littlest. Pretty soon, they're going to ask a question like, well, what was that like? I remember when I got saved, I went back to the dye shop the next day, and they found out that I'd given my life to the Lord. I was the worst guy in that dye shop. I was an alcoholic, atheist, I was druggy, bar fighting, ex-Marine. I was a knucklehead with a bad case of the stupids. No doubt about it. Do you know that within a day or two, they actually made, you know, like when you're betting on a playoff game, a baseball game, football game, where everybody like guesses the score? They literally filled this thing out, and they all took days at how long I could go without getting drunk, without getting hammered. Do you know the one that had the most faith? He guessed 7 days. Well, hallelujah, I blew through all of that stuff. The one thing I didn't like is when I went back to them on the eighth day and I said, well, all you guys are wrong. Do I get the money? They really didn't like that. So the great news is, though, like from early on, when I got so radically saved, and I just want to like put a comma here for a second, just hold that thought. If you just grew up in the church and all you know is your parents were Christians, your grandparents were Christians, all your aunts and uncles were Christians, you never got into drugs and alcohol and porn and all this other stupid stuff, man, praise God. Your testimony is just as powerful as mine. Can I just tell you about 1,000 times every week I wish some of the junk that's up here wasn't up here? Your heritage, your testimony saved you from that. You've got a great testimony. Which is more powerful? This God that kept me generationally in his faithfulness, or this God that changed my everything a few decades ago? Which one's? It's the same great God. So don't let the devil come and tell you, well, you ain't got nothing to talk about. You didn't even smoke a cigarette. You don't even know how to swear. Shut up. Just shut up. My great God kept me from all that garbage that damages people. Okay, so we're anointed. What are we anointed for? Listen to this. We're in the service of the king to proclaim and enforce his kingdom. The devil wants to try to convince us that somehow we just belong to a pretty decent club and we meet in the clubhouse. And if it works out, maybe invite somebody to come to the club with you. That's baloney. We belong to the living God. We're part of the body of Christ. This group of people, this family right here that we're in, this is an eternal family. We're going to see all of us up in heaven someday. This is only the beginning. We get to live with God right now, living in his anointing, preaching the good news, seeing lives around us change. Oh, and then we die and go to heaven. I was able to talk to Dwayne a couple times before he passed away. And I just tried to encourage him as best I could. It's like I wasn't sure if he could hear him anymore. He was really in a tough spot. And I said, hey, Dwayne, you don't have to keep on fighting. Dwayne, you fought the good fight. You worked hard your whole life. You're at the end now, buddy. You don't have to fight any harder. Go meet Jesus. I'm guaranteeing you it's better up there than it is here. You don't have to hang on for every minute here. Amen? Amen. Come on, Christians. This is only the beginning. Heaven's better than this. This is our work address. That's our home address. So we've been anointed to preach good news. Anytime, anywhere, we are locked and loaded, ready for bear. Man, it's awesome. The Holy Spirit, guess what he'll do? He saves us. He redeems us. He fills us with God's goodness. And he teaches us the Bible and the truth in the Bible. Starts opening our understanding of spiritual things. And then guess what? He'll bring really annoying people around you. People that seem to not have a clue. People that seem to have addictions and offenses. And they're angry and sometimes they're bitter. And guess what? That's not an accident. He's doing that on purpose because we have the answer. He brings people to us that are exactly like we used to be. I was one of the biggest jerks ever put his feet in shoes. I'm sure I drove people crazy. People used to try to witness to me at work. I'd just start blaspheming. I would say stuff so horrible, there's no way I'm going to repeat it here. No way am I going to tell you the stuff I used to say. But like most Christians would only ever try to witness to me one time. One time. And they'd walk away going, man, yeah, I hope you burn in hell. One guy witness to me all the time, Chris Scherer, a lot of you guys know him. And it got to the place where I literally told him, Chris, if you mention Jesus to me one more time, I'm going to punch you in the face. And Chris said, okay, fine, I'm not going to tell you about him anymore, but I'm going to keep praying for you until you get saved, because I love you too much to let you go to hell. And he walked away. You think that don't matter? Here I am about 35 years later, and I still remember him saying that. I can tell you where I was in that shop when Chris said it to me and walked away. It matters what we say. So if people are irritating you, if you've got some real, like, work projects in your life, praise God. That means God knows what you've got, how much you've got, and he's bringing these people to you to watch you change them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whew, man. I love how Jesus says that he has come to heal the brokenhearted. That term brokenhearted literally means battered, broken, and crushed. And the power of the Holy Spirit heals those hearts. He healed my heart. I don't know about you guys, but my history, the reason I was such a bitter, angry person, because I'd been through stuff that made me a bitter, angry person. Most of us don't end up bitter and angry and broken because everything's gone great. Whether it's other people's choices or our choices, our hearts need to be healed. And they can be so battered and so broken. Thank you, Cassie. You're doing a good job. It's my preaching. It ain't her. I know. I'm sorry. So we're anointed to preach the good news. And the good news actually heals our broken hearts. It brings exactly what we name, what we need. And I love how liberty is used twice in this short passage. It's a two-verse passage. It talks about five different things, and two of those is for us to proclaim liberty. That's why I chose this passage on Independence Weekend, because the freedom people give us comes and goes, can be changed on anybody's whim. But the freedom we get in Christ, the freedom that we proclaim to people, is eternal, absolute in every situation. Man. When we proclaim liberty, the original language is to make a proclamation of a full pardon. Now that language is a little bit more clear than just saying proclaim liberty. Well, when was the last time you went out on the street going, liberty, liberty? Nobody does that stuff, right? But we can, in our own words, talk to this person that's nicked to us and say, in the forgiveness in Christ Jesus is an absolute pardon from everything you've done wrong that you should have to pay for. You know, all of us have to pay for our sins. Or Jesus did. That's the only two options. Either we're going to pay for our sins, or by faith we're going to accept that Jesus paid for all of them. That for me, that's a no-brainer. Jesus paid for all my sins, so now I can have perfect comfort, perfect peace, because I've been set free, and he has proclaimed a full pardon over me. I love how it says recovery of sight to the blind. Though that is absolutely inside and out. Recovery of sight outside and recovery of sight inside. The Holy Spirit teaches how to see spiritual things. We can see how God moves in our life and other people's lives. Before that, you could look at the same thing before you're saved and after you're saved. And one thing you'd look at and go, that's stupid. It's just a dumb coincidence. After you get saved and you see how God works in people's lives, how he's worked in you, you're like, oh, man, glory to God. That's amazing, Lord, that you made that happen. Because now I can see that for that to happen, you had to have this happen. And then you worked it through that. And then that person and that. And for that to happen yesterday, you started working on that when I was in high school. Glory to God. Recovery of sight to the blind, inside and out. It's amazing. Then he circles back again. He says, to set at liberty all who are oppressed. And that literally means the oppression means to be bruised. Also can mean broken in pieces. And you don't have to go very far nowadays to find someone who is broken in pieces. They're maintaining. Usually they're heavily medicated, or they're going to two or three different, what are they? They call, like, psychologists and There's another name that people use now. It doesn't sound so extreme. But I know many people that don't know the Lord and have several other ways of trying to cope with daily life. We can set them free. The Bible says, just like Jesus, that we can set at liberty those who are oppressed, those that are literally broken in pieces. So we can proclaim to them that they're free, and the Holy Spirit will illuminate inside them. We can tell them how they can be free through Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will illuminate that inside them. And please don't be intimidated by someone's life. It looks like, man, these guys are so far from God. Man, that person, I don't see how he can ever get saved. Do you see how he talks? Do you see how he treats his wife and kids? Do you see how he acts? Wow, this dude is, don't ever think like that. Because I'm living proof. I was an alcoholic atheist manipulating my wife who went to a stupid church thing, went into that building, came out born again. Everybody's that close to having God talk to them. Every single person is literally one conversation away from the Holy Spirit illuminating in their hearts, in their spirits, about being born again and having a brand new everything. One conversation is all it takes. So the last thing I want to talk about is Jesus says the acceptable year of the Lord. And, you know, Jesus said it because he is quoting Isaiah. Isaiah said it, and it's a funny thing. If you're in Isaiah right now, if you got your Bible turned to Isaiah, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8. So I like in Isaiah 61, verse 2, he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. And then when we look in Isaiah 49, verse 8, Isaiah says, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. In other words, the verse, the term acceptable year, acceptable time, and the day of salvation is interchangeable. You can put those where you want, either one. To the point of, and I think many of you might be familiar with this. You don't have to turn. I'll just read it to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, this is what Paul says about salvation, about the timing of salvation, about the season of salvation. He says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Then he says, this is what Paul says to wrap this part up. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Church, I want to encourage us. I want to challenge us. It's urgent. It's when you talk to someone, when you even have a sense, a stirring, I should tell them about Jesus. I should tell them about the hope that I have. I should tell them what the pastor said yesterday at church. When you get that stirring, it's urgent. Because none of us are guaranteed how long we're going to live. I know that somehow as we grow up in this world, we kind of get this Hallmark theology. I know how much theology has gotten worse lately, but for me, the Hallmark theology is that we're all going to live to be 90 years old. We're all going to know that our days are wrapping up. It's getting close. It's getting short. So I better mail some letters. I better make some phone calls. I better have my family around and just settle all my accounts, see everybody all once and for all, give them hugs and kisses. And then I'm going to go out and get my rocker out on the front porch, and I'm just going to doze off and rock myself into heaven. That's Hallmark. That's make-believe. How many people actually pass away that way? Not many. I'll guarantee you, every single one of us knows someone close to us that died very quickly with little warning. We had a 28-year-old son, died in the highway, noon, on a spring day, going from here to Kalamazoo, never made it. Zero time. I had a brother that was at a rock concert that died so fast, he fell down on the people in front of him. He was 42 years old. Now, if I feel like I'm faint, I mean, in a different life, I passed out many times. Most of the time you feel it coming on, you kind of stagger somewhere and you sit down. To have your off button flipped so that you fall down in front, that means you had zero time to prepare anything. You didn't even have time to go, oh, Jesus, please forgive me now, which a lot of people think they're going to do, right? I'm just going to live any old way I want, and then when I get on my deathbed, when I do the whole Hallmark thing, I'll just accept Jesus then. It's like you don't know. Now more than ever, you don't know when your last day is. Any one of us could die in a car accident today. Any one of us. Any one of us could have a brain aneurysm or a heart attack. There's people here who've had heart attacks and strokes and brain aneurysms. We don't know. This could be our last day. This could be that person next to us our last day. We honestly don't know. And guess what now? Now I can say this, and I'm not exaggerating. It just sounds so stupid. We don't know if we're going to get shot today at Walmart or a restaurant, or God forbid you go to a school. That seems to be one of the most dangerous places there is now. So when I say there's an urgency, when God stirs in our heart to share the goodness with someone around us, there is an urgency. That might be their last day. It might be the season for them to give their life to the Lord. Is some of this tough to do? It can seem like it until we reorientate, recalibrate. I'm not going to tell them they're filthy sinners and that they're horrible and they need to change their life. I want to tell them about this good God who's in a good mood, who loves blessing his people, that came into my life and changed my everything. Took my depression and turned it into joy. Took my hopelessness and filled my whole life with hope. I want to tell them about that God. And then he can talk to them about stuff he wants to change with them. I'm not their judge and jury. So let me wrap all this stuff and try to bring this to a close, put a fine point on it. Some of the things I've talked about with freedom and what Jesus came and his ministry to us and our ministry, do you feel like you're walking in that? Do you feel like you've got freedom? Do you feel like you've got enough freedom where you can actually share that freedom with other people? Would you like to see a greater anointing in your life? And by that, I just mean more sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and through you. And there's a lot of terminology out there that various denominations and non-denominations use, and some of it bugs some people. So let me just say it this way. Would you like to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in you and through you? I think that's pretty safe. I think all of us say yes, yes and amen. I want that bad. So I'm going to close by praying for all of us. And I want us to just remember this thing. We are anointed to proclaim the good news. We are anointed. When we gave our lives to God, God said we qualify not only for eternal life in heaven. Not only that. When we gave our lives to God, he said, you qualify to represent me. And I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit so he'll help you speak the life of Christ into other people's lives. Amen? All right. Go ahead and bow your head and just open your heart up to God. And I'm going to pray for all of us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you so much. I just talked a little bit about what you've done for me, Lord, but I know every person in this room who raised their hand that said that they're born again, I know every single one of them could stand up here and tell stories of your faithfulness, tell stories of your goodness, tell stories of how you've woven things in their life to bring your kingdom in measurable ways in their life. And so, Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you would just refill us with the Holy Spirit, that you would reignite a fresh passion in our heart for the Holy Spirit. Father, would you make all of us as if it was the first day we met you, when everything was possible, when everything was new, when literally the sky was the limit. Would you please renew that spirit in all of us right now, I ask, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, would you come in power so that we'll be more sensitive to you, to your voice, to your nudgings, to obey your word, to take you right at face value. Would you please help us to do that now? I know we can't do much in our own strength, but with your power, we can do all things. And so, Lord, I pray that you come into all of us now. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, we invite you in to do what the word says you'll do. You'll remind us of Jesus' word, and you'll give us the power to obey that word. So would you please do that now? Make us more sensitive to you, Holy Spirit, more sensitive to the Father, more sensitive to Jesus, and then would you move through us so that we can share the good news with hurting people around us. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So God bless you. Have a great Independence weekend. And I just want to encourage you, if you get a chance, if you feel like you're getting stirred, if you feel like, you know what, maybe this is one of those people the pastor is talking about, just ask them a question. How are things going? How's it been for you? Is there anything, a real simple one, is there anything I can pray for you for? Anything at all that I can pray? Because if they're getting sensitive to God, they will give you a prayer request. And then you can just go from there. Amen? God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. So I was watching the fireworks last night. It's just like God dropped in my heart. He said, we're looking at all these bright lights and the beauty of them, but he wants us to know his light is more beautiful and more lasting and forever. And that he wants each of us to know that he has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and he will fulfill it. And we just need to open our hearts and receive it. Because God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his word is truth and life, and it never changes.
Thank you, Mary. And if there's anyone here that would like personal prayer, just come on up. I'll be here for a while, and I'd love to just pray with you and just hear what's on your heart. So God bless you, and have a great weekend.